It is a starship. Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Cinco de Mayo, too.
Happy Gracias. Mayo.
Oh. De nada.
We are going to give you the most gringo Cinco de Mayo you've ever heard on the radio. It's going to make Donald Trump go, oh my God, those people are so disrespectful.
Well, we're not going to be disrespectful.
No, but we'd just be embarrassingly ignorant about the issue.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we'd be more ignorant than what we've seen from Donald Trump already. I'm not sure. I mean, in Mexico, they actually use piñatas in his shape regularly and burn them as well, in effigy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... And I think that's largely due to some of his ignorance about the issue.
I believe strongly that's
exactly what's going on there.
I find that incredibly interesting that you think that he's coming off as ignorant in foreign lands.
It's funny because it seems like every year around this time, there's always a fraternity that messes up by throwing a party and wearing sombreros and being terribly disrespectful of the Mexican culture. But now we have someone running for president who's tweeting out a picture of himself with a Taco Bell or Taco Bowl.
Yeah.
Talking about, I love Hispanics. He's running for president of the United States of America, and that's what he did today.
But he's also plugging the Taco Bowl at the Trump Tower Grill, which he says is the finest Taco Bowl in America.
He's never tasted that Taco Bowl. Look at him. He's not eating it. He's just smiling it in front of it with the fork in his hand.
Is
so, like, made up, that whole picture.
Well, it's the worst smile, too.
Right.
It is. It's painted
he's never,
on.
He's never tried a Taco Bowl.
He's trying to be the tolerant grandpa in that you know what? Nothing would make me happier than if Barron Trump grew up to marry Vicente Fox's granddaughter.
Could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen.
That would be just the best thing in the world.
Vicente Fox, not a fan, though, of the fathers. That would make for very awkward Cinco de Mayos in the future.
Right. Do we have Vicente Fox, right? There's some audio of him.
Yeah, he was saying some things today.
He's
about Donald Trump.
Vicente Fox is the former president of Mexico, who's the guy who when asked, are you going to pay for the wall if Donald Trump becomes president? He used a four-letter word to describe how he will not do it. That started with an F and ended with a
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of said build your own wall. Donald.
All right.
Do we have it?
All right, here we go. This is from Bill O'Reilly last night. All right.
Well, really, facts and numbers, Bill, are totally different to what is being said. And I think it's very important what I have invited you to come to Mexico, but more so, I think it's very important to invite Donald Trump to come to Mexico and to learn about the real Mexico, that is, I would think, totally different.
Now, I would assume that Trump has been to Mexico, right?
Of course. You know, he's well-traveled. He seems to have done business deals all over the world, as he will tell you.
Well, we think, you know, he may be one of those guys who doesn't like to travel, though, too. I mean, he likes to travel around the United States, but then he gets into the other
have
places.
Have people come to meet him here?
You know he had to go to Slovenia to meet the in-laws at some point, right?
I don't know about that.
Don't you think?
As long as he doesn't run into the ex-boyfriend, because that would be awkward.
Boom, boom, boom. I see Donald Trump and go boom, boom, boom.
I know her.
Hey, Melania. Melania, remember me? Boom, boom, boom.
The Vespa ride?
Boom, boom. I'm Vespa. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so Vicente Fox is inviting Fox News to Mexico and Donald Trump. You should come down here and see what's really going on. Well, if you've been to people have been to Mexico. I mean, one of the interesting thing about Mexico, it is... Most Americans go down there and they stay at all-inclusive resorts, right? And you see these, and everybody's like, oh my God, it's so nice down here. But then you get out into driving to and from the resort. Mm-hmm. It could be a little scary.
There's extreme poverty.
Yeah.
It's sad to see.
But Mexico City is a world-class city. Mexico City is one of those cities that equates to, in population, it's one of the largest cities in the world. If not the largest, I think it's the way they count it. But it is, a classic colonial city, beautiful architecture, great restaurants, great, you know, there's great economy because Mexico is the fifth largest oil producer in the world. So it's like a, you know, there are real things happening in the Mexican economy. It's just how does it get back down to the people and the infrastructure and services and things like that, and then narco-terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is such a gigantic, if you just imagine the United States being a gigantic vacuum of powder, Mexico is the nozzle through which it is being, you know, sucked up, essentially, because no matter what, you got to get it through. It almost all has to go through Mexico to get to the United States, whether it's coming from Bolivia or Colombia or wherever it happens to be coming from.
Mm-hmm. And for the people living there, a lot in several areas, a lot of them, they're controlled by the drug cartel people, the kingpins. And so there's a very violent lifestyle in a lot of it's you're living in poverty, and then you also have a control that's not necessarily of the government, but of the local warlords, so to speak.
Right. I mean, it's difficult. It's a very serious situation, but you do have an incredibly, you know, people always like to say this, it's a very devout and also a very industrious workforce, right? I mean, we know that firsthand here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the things that has become center in this election, the NAFTA, you know, document that was signed in terms of opening the borders and allowing free trade between Mexico and the United States. And has that hurt or harmed workers in America? Already becoming one of the big issues in this campaign.
Here is Vicente Fox with his olive branch.
Yes, yes, I'm humble enough, as leaders should be, compassionate leader. If I offended you, I'm sorry. But what about the other way around?
You hear me?
Trying to get an apology from Trump. Good luck. Good luck with that whole thing, Mr. Former President of Mexico.
I think that's
big
really...
of him to do it, but wow.
You hear me? You hear me? Okay, I apologize to you. You now apologize to me. I am so sorry.
Because he's got that mustache too. He's kind of like Sonny Fox has got these gigantic. He looks like a 1930s movie star. You know, he's got that sort of Clark Gable-esque mm-hmm. sort of thing about him. But you know, he's the kind of guy you don't want to mess with.
That's exactly right. You get that feeling. Right. Don't mess with this guy.
Yeah, where Trump is like, did you see Trump? This is the other. I forgot to mention this on Tuesday night in his acceptance speech, of course, in New York. At the Trump Tower, which is as far away, which is the closest he's going to get to Indiana for the rest of his life, by the way. I just want to say, you're welcome. You know, thank you, Indiana.
Isn't that incredible? He didn't even really stop there for very long.
No.
And he won by such a huge margin.
You did exactly what I needed you to do. Now scram is essentially what he's going to say to Indiana. He's standing there, and he was talking about how he was being humble. And he was talking about all the competitions he's been in his life, athletic competitions. Really, playing in a golf tournament at Mar-a-Lago is not an athletic competition. I play golf a lot. I play in a lot of events and tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
That is not athletic competition.
Gawker has a big article out with all the celebrities piling on, saying how he cheats at golf. That all the caddies kind of know that you're supposed to when it goes into the brush, you're supposed to put it on the fairway when it's drum. And they're all just kind of coming out and slamming him for his cheat at golf techniques.
Yeah. They said that about Clinton, too, and it was true.
I have to tell you that I've competed all my life, competitive person. All my life, I've been in competitions, different competitions, whether it's sports or business or now for 10 months politics. And I have to tell you that I have met some of the most incredible competitors that I have ever competed against.
I do have to say, though, that no one is as good as Dr. Joe Goldstein at Mar-a-Lago, who just, he's automatic on 6-foot putts. Automatic. I mean, what? Come on.
Do you think you can read a lot into someone who cheats at golf, though?
I mean, isn't, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I know business people will tell you, and who're good at golf, and I am not, but that you take a business, a potential business partner out to play golf, and you learn a lot about them. through the course of 18 holes.
For sure.
How they handle pressure, what they do when they're ahead,
what gentlemen they are. I shouldn't have snapped my sand wedge over my knee when I was playing with Jimmy DeCastro. Is that what you're saying?
Jimmy's okay with that.
You're going to play with me tomorrow morning. This will be very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Kevin out to do exactly that to him.
I normally
throw temper tantrums and pout and sit down on the green when I miss an easy putt.
I do. I'll tell you. You know what?
Do you call your mom?
I will tell you a funny story. Larry Wirt, who is our boss's boss, right?
Yep.
Boss's boss's boss. I once threw. We play golf a lot. I once threw a putter across across two separate holes. I mean, it was like I whipped it so far, and it landed on a concrete cart path. I'm going to just tell you this right now. I am not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now. This is the problem with Trump. I know who this guy is. I get it. This guy should be the most unqualified relative you have in your home to do anything. And it could be a six-month-old, or it could be an 80-year-old. It could be anybody. The person you know, you would go, oh, God, do not let that person touch anything. That is Donald Trump.
Bro, he's built a successful business, and I know he started with a lot, because I agree with that theory. When you're born on third base, you know, it sort of helps.
He did not hit a triple.
Right.
All right. Okay. Can I? Do you mind? Excuse me.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I feel like a Podomatic is going to make me feel so much better about the traffic right now.
I don't think I am, actually.
Do you speak Spanish at all?
Un poquito.
Right.
Well, no se voya.
Exactly. Oh, you know what? I used to have one of those before the Tahoe. Can you do any of it in Spanish? Any of the traffic in Spanish?
I can say my name with the Spanish accent.
Okay, why don't you do that at the end of everything? El hombre del pelequín. In other words, the man of the toupee. I don't wear a toupee. It's my hair. By the way, I love Mexican people. I have such a great relationship to Mexico. I hire thousands of people, the rich Mexicans, they're great people. Friends of mine, they buy my apartments. Everybody loves me.
I'm Hispanic and I vote for Mr. Trump. We vote for Mr. Trump! Yes! Mr. Trump! We love you! We love you! All the way to the White House!
Happy Cinco de Mayo, America.
All of that really happened. We didn't alter that.
Talk about putting a damper on the day.
Oh, my God. That is the best observation. It's like you go, oh, God, no, we did that for comedic purposes.
Little radio bit. No.
No.
It totally happened.
Yeah. What the hell's going on here? What's happened to my little world?
Why doesn't he know how to speak some Spanish or other languages for, you know, how rich and supposedly...
worldly
he is? Well-traveled he is. I mean, he couldn't even spit those words out, for gosh sakes.
Maybe he speaks Slovenian.
Boom, boom, boom.
He probably speaks that.
Yeah. That's
his language, all right.
Yeah, in order to get the hot Slovenian wife, do you think it was him whispering Slovenian romance into her ear? I don't think so.
He just gave her a
more like into our pocket.
Yeah, exactly right.
Showed the bank account statements.
Yeah,
right.
I'm worth $50 billion.
Right. What he's
keep telling me more.
Right. Exactly. Well, remember what she said? That is my favorite part of this.
What
is that? She said that she met him. He was out on a date. He was still married to Marla, I think.
There was overlap for sure.
Yeah, there was some overlap.
I don't know if they were separated, but they were not unmarried.
Right. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that he is a guy that it's the only story that where his poll numbers go up when you tell the story about this. So he's like hitting on her at this fashion show, like after party. And she's like, give me your phone number. Why would I do it when
she can
do
there?
It?
While were you there?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let's let them. They're just telling me in my ear.
Playing the part of Melania, Rokon.
You don't have to be Melania.
Let's have her say it. And the award goes to.
Here we go.
It was perfect.
Okay, where did you meet him?
We met in New York 1996 in September. We met at the fashion party. It was a big fashion party that my friend organized, a fashion week, and he invited me. That's how we met with Donald.
Did you like him immediately or not?
I like him. He had a great, great charm, but he arrived with the date.
Oh.
So, and he was very charming and a great mind and great energy. We had the connection from the beginning.
And when was the next time you saw him?
We saw each other, I think, around a week, because I had obligations, work obligations. I travel to Caribbean for a photo shoot. Mm-hmm. So when I came back, I called him, and we got together.
So you...
And hold on right there. Now, this is the
The important part's coming up.
The important part is really what's coming up here. This is how she decided that she was going to be the top dog here over the girlfriend or the wife. This is how you know.
She was assessing the situation to see if this was like sort of a fling thing or maybe there was potential.
You called him.
Yes.
He didn't call you.
Well, when we met, I didn't give him my number. He was with the date. So I told him, give me your number and I will call you. I wanted to see what kind of number he would give me. Business, home.
555.
If he would give me a business number, I'm not a girl doing business with him. Why he would give me a business number? So he gave me all of them. And when I came back, I said, give me your number, I promise I will call you. And I came back after the photo shoot and I called him.
Let me ask you a question. How many drop phones do you think Donald Trump had even back then?
Right.
I mean, think about that. Think about how many.
Well, now he's probably limited with the Secret Service thing. But I mean, then you're right. How many different phones did he have?
Oh, no,
a ton.
Well, Secret Service isn't. They're not looking at his.
I thought that they have to limit your communications as well.
Once you're president.
Oh, okay. It's not prior to it.
No.
Remember, because didn't Obama have to get rid of his BlackBerry that he loved? And
right.
But back then, who knows?
He's still a private citizen. He's just being protected by them because of the threat matrix that surrounds him. So at least
he gave her a personal phone number, not a business line.
As far as you know.
But hey, it worked. So maybe her test was the right test.
Do you think he was having that George guy from The Apprentice field all of the female calls that were coming in for him?
I don't know that George got involved in that kind of business.
I don't know, Mr. Trump. I know there's some lady with a funny accent she's been calling. Melanie or something. I don't know her name.
Did you see Matthews got caught off mic commenting on Melania? Which apparently talking to Brian Williams, and they were saying, my God, look at that runway walk. You see her walk, and I could watch that runway show any day kind of thing.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, Chris Matthews being
infatuated
with her. Oh, no. Oh, that's sick. I just thinking about Chris Matthews being a sexual being is probably the most horrifying thing I could think of. It makes my mind slam shut.
Apparently, he was the same one who said about Sarah Palin could not be hotter as a candidate. So,
well, that was true, actually. That is a beautiful woman up close. But I'm sure Melania is absolutely stunning. But she does. It's very weird. She glides. She doesn't walk. Mm-hmm. Right? She's very well trained. She's an international model.
Well, and it also in those shots, then it's really hard to do when you stand behind the candidate for those long speeches on stage. There's always inevitably someone who rolls their eyes or looks like they're asleep or whatever. And she's the perfect candidate wife because she never does. She just stands there and looks, you know, respectful and claps in the right places.
Well, right, but it does look like her mind is doing something totally different than being there.
Like she's just sort of there.
Right. She's thinking how she's going to reorganize her closet. And she's as she's sitting there, she's thinking in her mind, okay, I'm going to put red sweaters in this drawer. I'm going to put dress.
She doesn't look like a hostage or like that Chris Christie look, you know.
Are you sure she's not thinking, what did he just say?
Oh, I'm sure there's some of that too. I'm sure there's.
It must be the language barrier. No. I didn't just hear that.
How does this help
please
us
don't,
again?
Please don't go there. I know where you're going. Don't go.
There he goes.
Yeah. Don't tweet. I wonder when she saw the taco salad tweet today.
I don't think she sees that stuff.
Sure she does. For Cinco de Mayo. You know she's got friends. Chelsea Clinton is probably texting going, did you see what your dumb husband just did?
I still am just baffled by how that would get past. Presumably, there's at least one person taking the picture and maybe one person handling his Twitter account. At least, at the very least, you would think some eyes would see it. A campaign manager takes a little look-see at tweets before they go out, given the history. And yet that goes out on Cinco de Mayo.
For those who are just joining us, he tweeted a picture of himself eating a taco bowl in his office at Trump Tower, saying Trump Tower Grill makes the best taco bowls. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I love Hispanics. Exclamation point.
The little plate it's sitting on has four little walls around it, if you noticed.
Yeah, right. It does. Right. The plate. Oh, you're exactly right.
Nice observation, that, Kevin.
Yes. He put the taco ball in a walled plate.
Even his taco ball's not going anywhere.
That's an excellent observation.
It is. But I love how he promotes his business still. Your best taco bowl or best food is at the Trump Tower.
What's he going to do when he's president? And he has to put all of his assets in blind trust. Imagine what that's going to be like. First of all, we'll find out what they all are. That'll be that. Finally, people will go, oh my God, he's got all these business connections to China. Look at that. And Mexico. Look at that. Oh, man. All right. Well, everybody, you know, take the people, the Republican Party right now, they go, well, this is what the people want. So we're going to stand by what the people want.
That's what they're saying.
Even if it's only about 35% of our people, we are going to stand by them. Of the 35%, it's fine.